Your Bibles, if you will, please, and open with me to the book of Revelation. Book of Revelation, chapter number 20, and we want to begin reading in verse number 10, and then we're going to go into chapter 21, and going to be more verses than I normally read, but I want to begin in verse number 10 of Revelation chapter 20, and I'm going to read down through verse number 8. In chapter number 21, Revelation chapter number 20, and verse 10, and the Bible says, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Now in chapter 21, John said, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away.' And he that sat upon the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And he said unto me, 'Write, for these words are true and faithful.' And he said unto me, 'It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Let us pray. Father, we're grateful today for the very privilege of being back in the house of God. We thank you for your love and grace and mercy that you've extended to us. Thank you for each one that's come and is present here today. Now, Father, you know the need of every heart. You know the need of every life. And, Father, we leave it in thy hands. But, Lord, we pray today for those that are here, Father, that have never accepted Christ as their personal Savior. I pray, Father, may this be the day in which they put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray for those, Father, that have been saved and are not completely committed to the work of God in their life, that today would be the day that they would surrender their life completely to God. Now, Lord, I pray and ask you to honor and glorify yourself. Do your will. Help me, anoint me, and use me for thy honor and glory. Lord, I pray today, may nothing be said except the word that you can use for your honor and glory. For I ask this in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, notice as I read these, in the latter part of chapter number 20, John is writing about the home of those that die without Christ. Now, in chapter 21, in the first 7 verses, John writes there about the home for us that are saved by the grace of God. And you notice there the comparison. Notice the differences there. Now, John finished what I read in verse 8 and gave a description of those that will face the second death, that will spend eternity apart from God. Now, that verse has been used and preached on many times and maybe entitled, "Your Next Door Neighbor in Hell." But now, I want to preach on this thought, making reservations for eternity. Making reservations for eternity. Every one of us here, we enjoy going out of town. We enjoy getting away sometimes for rest and comfort. And most of the time, as a family or a couple or individuals begin to make those plans, the first thing they decide on is where they want to go. Where is this trip going to take us? Well, life is a trip. It begins with birth and ends with death, physically. Now, as we read, you will notice that life doesn't end completely at the physical death point. The Bible said it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. And every one of us, the only way we're going to leave this walk of life is through death or through the rapture, the catching away of the church. Now, I hate to disappoint some of you because I know you've got plans, and those plans are almost set up like life here is never going to end. This life upon this earth one day will come to an end. Because as I said earlier, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Now, God allows some to live 100 years or more. And some people, they leave this walk of life at a much younger age. And that's why we know not the day nor the time that we're going to make that journey from this walk of life to eternity. But what is important is that you and I make sure that we have reservations already made. And you're making those reservations. You're either living a life that you're making reservation to spend eternity apart from God in the great lake of fire, or either you're making, have made, or will make preparations and reservations to live a life throughout eternity with God and with believers. It doesn't matter if you go to heaven or you go to hell. It's for eternity. How do you know that? How do you know that people won't just be put in the lake of fire and be consumed? Because if you notice with me, I didn't read the verse, But in chapter 19 and verse number 20, the Bible said, "And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image." Now notice this last statement. "These both were cast alive into a lake burning, or into a lake of fire burning with brimstone." Now flip the page and look with me at a verse I read in verse number 10. Let me back up to verse 7. And it said, "And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison." How can he be loosed? He was cast into the lake of fire earlier in the chapter. Now after being 1,000 years, he's loosed to go into all nations and again cause confusion. But then in verse 10, it said, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." So people are under the impression, well, if I want to live my life any way I want to live it, and I choose not to accept Christ, that when I am put into the lake of fire, that I'll be consumed. But that's not true. As here, the devil was cast in, then he was brought out, and again cast back in verse 10. As long as there is a heaven, there is going to be a hell, or a lake of fire. And so it's so important that you make your reservations. Now, I know some people, they go on vacation, and they go on vacation, what I call a hit and miss. They don't make any reservations. They don't make any plans. They just kind of move along day by day. I'm not one of those. I want to know where I'm going, and I want to know where I'm going to stay. I tried that other one time when Brenda and I were first married. We went to Panama City to visit some of my family, but we didn't want to stay with the family, so we decided we'd get a motel room. Well, we must have gone to at least a dozen motels, and there was no vacancies. We were young. We were in our late teens, early 20s, and we didn't think about being 4th of July weekend. So we finally found a room, and that's about all it was a room. But so since then, I'm not one that likes to do this, okay, we're just going to take a chance. Well, same thing with eternity. If you continue to live your life the way you want to live it apart from God, you are living by chance. You're living by chance that you might have another opportunity to come to Christ. You're living by chance that you might live another year or two. But rest assured, the day is coming that this life will end. The way that I can face death today and not worry about death, I don't want to die. I'm not looking to die. I'm not hoping to die. But if death comes to me before next Sunday, you rest assured of this fact, that death has no control over me. And you rest assured that I am where I want to be, rejoicing in the presence of a living God, of the living God. And so why is that? Because back in 1968, I made my reservations. I got my reservation sealed until the day that I get there. I'm not worried about my reservation being canceled. I'm not worrying about my reservation being given to somebody else, because on that day, on September the 2nd, 1968, I realized I was lost without God, on my way to hell without any hope, and I came to an old-fashioned altar, bowed and asked God to save me. And God did that, and since that day, my name had been recorded in the restoration book, in the book of life, the book that has my name there. They registered it that day, and it cannot be removed. And so I know that when death comes my way, or if the rapture of the church comes first, that I am heaven bound. Now, Brendan, I will be celebrating 51 years of marriage. I know some of you rolling your eyes like, wow. You're not anywhere close to that mark as marriage or in life. And we have planned a trip. Reservations have been made for a while. There's a difference on this trip and the trip I'm talking about going to heaven. There could something happen that will mess up those reservations. We may have car trouble. There may be an accident, and we may not arrive there. But we've got reservations. But the most important reservations you'll ever make is a reservation for eternity. And so I want us to look here in these verses. And I say to you today, I want to show you your choices. Now, if you come to my house and say, I want you to make me reservations, I can give you multiple choices. I can say, do you want to stay in the Holiday Inn, the Holiday Inn Express, in the Hampton Inn, in the Garden? All of those. But when it comes to eternity, there's only two choices. And that choice is heaven or the lake of fire. And so I can help you make your choices either here or for eternity. Now, I could even say, okay, I'm going to place you in this motel. And I can do that. But when it comes to eternity, I can't make your choice. You have to make the choice yourself. I can encourage you. I can pray for you. I can beg you. I can do all of those things. But when it comes down to the very choice, you must make that choice. I can pray for you, but I cannot repent for you. You must repent of your own sin. But notice, let's look first at the awful place, the place of the lake of fire. And notice how John gave the description here. John talks about the last judgment. John is writing here about the forthcoming judgment that God's going to deal with those that have rejected him and died in that condition. And it's called the Great White Throne Judgment. The only people that's going to come before God here at this judgment are those that have chosen to live their life without God. They've chosen not to come to Christ. They've chosen not to admit their sinners and ask for forgiveness. And they will come before this judgment. And it said there was a great white throne, him that sat on it. It's not going to be the preacher. It's not going to be a deacon. It's not going to be a Sunday school teacher. It's not going to be the president of the United States. It's not going to be some king or queen. It's going to be Jesus Christ himself. The very one that paid the sin debt is the very one that will judge those at the great white throne judgment. And as they come there before him, I can guarantee you that there are going to be all kind of excuses, and some will even say reasons for not coming to Christ. But this is going to be the words given. Depart from me, for I never knew you. God is not going to change his plan of salvation at the great white throne judgment. It's always been and always will be that salvation is given as a gift through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that died upon the cross of Calvary in the place of sinful man. Now, let me say this. God does not want you nor anyone else to go to hell. He does not want anybody to wind up in the lake of fire. How do you know that? Because Peter wrote this. Peter said, "It is not the will of God that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Jesus said, "I've come to give you life and life more abundantly." Jesus said in the book of Luke that the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. You say, "But I'm not lost." Well, let's see what the Bible said. In the book of Romans, the Bible said, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." That all that Christ wants to be saved is the same all that has sinned and come short of the glory of God. But it also says that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So those all that have sinned, those all that God want to be saved, is the all that can receive the gift of God through his Son, the Lord Jesus. But if not, this is what happened. It said, "I saw the dead, small and great." See, your financial situation doesn't change it. Your place in power doesn't change it. Your popularity doesn't change it. It said the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. Now, my name is in the book of life. Those that are lost, your name's not there. And it won't be. He'll let you look at the book. But there are going to be books there. One's going to contain the book of life. The dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. God's going to have at least two or three books. They're going to be open. One's the book of life. Those that have been saved by the grace of God. Your name won't be there. Then there's going to be a book that has recorded your deeds done in this life. And those, that book will have down what you've done. Now, you may get by with some things here in this walk of life. You may hide some things from people. But God will have recorded every work that you've done. Now, my works won't be there under your name. It's only your work. But it said the books will be opened. And there the things are written. But notice, the dead, small and great, stand before God. The sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged a man, every man according to his works. Now see, hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. I call hell a holding tank. Those that die before the judgment, the great white throne judgment, without Christ, go to hell. But here the Bible says that they that were in hell were delivered up before the judgment of God. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. Now think about this. You've already spent whatever amount of time it is in hell, where the fire is not quenched. Then you're brought up and you stand before God at the judgment. And God says to you, depart from me, for I never knew you. But Lord, I went to church. Lord, I did this and I did that. And I love people. It's not by works, lest any man should boast. And so God then has you cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. See, there's a physical death and there's a spiritual death. We make this statement, those that have been born once will die twice. Those that have been born twice will die once. See, I'm not going to die a spiritual death. I will die a physical death, but because I'm saved, I am there sealed for eternity. I will die one time from this walk of life. But spiritually, I'm not going to die. I'm alive and alive forevermore. And so here they are, the second death is being cast into the lake of fire. Who's going there? Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. See, God makes no mistakes. God doesn't leave room for error. If your name's not in that book, then you're going to stand before the great white throne judgment. He said, whosoever was not found written in the book of life. But now, let's go to the next place. That description wasn't very nice. I don't want to spend one night there, much less eternity. But now John writes in chapter 21. John says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. A new Jerusalem. Now, Jesus said to us that are saved, in John chapter 14, he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. But he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, and that we'll be there forever. Now, I have seen pictures of beautiful homes. I was looking the other day at some pictures. Somebody, I don't remember who it was, got their house up for sale for like $200 something million. Now, if I buy a house like that, it better open the doors for me. It better close the doors behind me. It better clean the floors for me. I mean, it better do everything, even tuck me in. It's hard for me to imagine a home. But as I began to look at these pictures, I thought, wow. I mean, some monstrosity swimming pool. Some of them even have driving ranges. If you don't know what that is, that don't mean for the car. That means for golfers that like to just hit the ball and don't really, doesn't matter where it winds up at. They've got those. They got, baseball players got batting cages built in their homes. I mean, great things. But that will not begin to compare with what Jesus Christ has prepared for us. But we're not going to be so carried away with what he's done for us there. When we get to heaven, it's not going to matter what that place looks like. What's going to matter is the fact that we are going to spend eternity with Him. We are going to get to praise Him and thank Him for saving us. And so John begins to describe this place. Those homes I told you about, they've probably been a lot of tears shed in them, been a lot of unhappiness. But John said, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them. There's the key, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. Think of this. Think about spending eternity in the very presence of God. It's great living for Him here and having Him do things in our life, but think about living in His very presence. Having the opportunity to speak to Him. But He said that He'd be with us. We shall be His people. And then notice this. And God shall wipe away all tears. What a change in life it would be if we could say today, you are never going to have a reason the rest of your life to shed a tear. You would say, wow. But that's not true. I hate to report to you, as long as you live in this walk of life, there's going to be heartache and heartbreak. There's going to be trouble and disappointment. And there's going to be tears. Some are good tears, and some are not good tears. Some will be when you get down to pray, and God really breaks your heart. And you begin to weep. That is a great time. It's a great time when there's tears of joy, excitement over something great's happened, a blessing from God or a work of God or whatever. But then there are those tears that are unhappy tears. Death brings tears. Sad reports bring tears. Disappointment brings tears. But think about going to a place where God's going to wipe away all tears. They're going to be gone. There's going to be no reason for tears. And it's all because we made our reservation through Jesus Christ to live in heaven forever. But He said, all tears shall be wiped away from their eyes. There shall be no more death. You know one thing that we hate? We hate death. We do. Even though we know it's the only way of getting out of this walk of life and getting to heaven, we still don't like death. I don't like when I get a phone call that says, so-and-so has passed on. It's not as hard to accept if you know they're saved by their testimony as it is when you wonder if they knew God or not. Because we that are saved know that if they're saved, we're going to meet again. But if we're not sure, or we know that they have never made a profession of faith, we're saddened over that because we know there's a separation. We know we're not going to live together anymore. We're not going to be neighbors anymore. Death is something that no one really likes to talk about. You want to end a conversation real quick? You're in a conversation, it seems like it continually goes on and on and on and on and on and on, and you're thinking, man, I wish you'd quit. Mention death. It'll cease. People will quit talking. Nobody likes death because nobody likes separation. But think about going to a place where people are going to live forever and ever and ever. There's not any tombstones in heaven. There's no grave plots in heaven, nor in hell. There'll be no more death, neither sorrow. I would probably be safe in saying that everybody here has gone through some kind of sorrow this week. If you haven't, thanks be to God. That sorrow talks about disappointment. There'll be no more sorrow, nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. I'm going to ask you a question. I think I know what the answer is going to be. I think I know how many hands are going to be raised. Raise your hand if you like pain. Nobody here likes pain?
I do.
From the mouths of babes. But pain. She's just beginning life. She's protected. What she looks at pain is not what we look at pain. Pain for a child is when they don't get what they want. But what I'm saying is, pain is something that nobody likes. So think about this. You're going to a place where there'll be no more pain. Let me use Brother Buck for an example, and I know he won't mind. But he's a person that experiences pain daily. I guarantee you he is looking forward to that day of living in a place where there is no pain. And I'm not just talking about physical. I'm talking about mental. I'm talking about every kind of pain you can think of. There won't be any. And so all the pain's going away. And here's the key for it. For the former things are passed away. You know what brings pain? What brings crying? What brings sorrow? What brings disappointment? It's a three-letter word called sin. There was no pain. There was no disappointment. There was no crying before Adam and Eve took of the fruit. Sin is what brings forth pain. And so all the former things are going. I'm not talking about in hell. I'm talking about in heaven. Sin's going to be gone. Everything from the past is going to be gone. Because he that sat on the throne says, "Behold, I make all things new." What makes us different than we were before? It's because the Bible said that we are new creatures in Christ Jesus. All things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. God made us new. What did it take? He said, "Those that thirst, I'll give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely." What does Christ say? Christ says, "I am the water. I'm the drink." He's the water of life. So it's given us life through Christ. That's what it takes. So you say, how can I reset my reservations? My reservations right now are hell, but I want my reservations to be heaven. What do I have to do? You have to acknowledge that you're lost without God. You have no hope. And you know that Jesus Christ died in your place and shed his blood for you, and is calling you today through the Holy Spirit, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That's all it takes. Not hard for the work to be done. It's just hard to get that person to acknowledge that work needs to be done. But he said, I'll give it. It says, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Now, I showed you what you would get in heaven and what you would miss and not have to deal with. But now notice the description of the lake of fire. Here's what you're going to be involved in. But let me say, the pain's going to be so bad that you're not going to know anybody or have anything. But these are the people, the fearful, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is a second death. Now, if I am a real estate agent and you're coming looking for a house, and I take you to a neighborhood and I give you a list of those people living in that neighborhood, and it fits verse 8, how many of you are going to buy a house in that neighborhood? So if we don't want to live with them here, why would we want to spend eternity with them there? Choice is yours. You must choose. You must set your reservations this side of physical death, because after physical death, there is no opportunity. You say, I'm not going to get another chance. No, it's here or never. The Bible said today is a day of salvation. Now is acceptable time. Jesus said, you nor I have a promise of tomorrow. I know what our plans are, but I couldn't guarantee you that they're not going to fall through. I'm praying that everything will go well. But you know what? We may not even get off the church grounds today before the Lord comes or we go out into eternity. If you knew that this was your last day upon this earth, would you change your reservation? Would you set reservations for a different place? Let us stand. You need to come this morning. I ask you to come. If you have your reservations already sealed to go to heaven, what are you doing to get others to go with you? What are you doing to encourage others to follow?